anem al lloc d'en que veure diumenge i dia fent la meva idea, la teua jo no la sé.
Molt mala de conèixer, jo cantant te la diré. Pots ven quan t'aparegues les voltes que et caiga bé. Mai ten gat sa conversa perquè és bastant música.
Welcome to Ibithology, the Ibiza History and Culture Podcast. Well, what a few weeks it's been for English language publications about Ibiza. Just in the last few weeks, we've seen publication of Rebecca Frayn's novel Lost in Ibiza, closely followed by Made in Ibiza. And now a third book is about to hit the island's bookshops, Oriol Maspons' Ibiza. Oriol was one of the great Spanish photographers of the 20th century. He came to Ibiza from the late 1950s to the 1980s and captured the hedonistic spirit of the island. This book contains a wonderful collection from the 500 images he took here during that period. So I'm delighted today to be joined by Emma Salahi, who co-edited this book. Emma is also director of Ibiza's Agony and Ecstasy Arts Gallery. Welcome, Emma. We're here at the Hub on a rainy day, as you can hear.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I don't know what is going on with the weather today. I feel like I brought it back with me from London, so apologies.
Well, we're thankful for that. It's like too dry here. So let's start off. So how did you find out about Oriol and what drew you to his work?
Sure. Well, I started the gallery about almost 2 years ago. And despite me loving pop art and colourful prints and things, I really loved photography. And I felt like old photography of Ibiza especially was something that just got me excited. So when I was researching old photographs of Ibiza, you know, they were all kind of the same, quite pixelated, you know, nothing quite artistic about them. And then I came across Oriol's work, and he seemed to come up quite a few times in my research when I was trying to find photographers who shot Ibiza from the past. And I found his Facebook page, and I just simply gave his son an email, said how much I loved his father's work and if he would be interested in my gallery representing his father's work and retailing the photographs. And he was very excited about it and invited me over to Barcelona to meet face to face. But there's quite a funny story there, because I said face-to-face, but I got to Barcelona and I messaged him. I said, I'm here. I'm in Barcelona. Where should we meet? And he thought, oh, I thought you meant on video face-to-face. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I've just flown all this way. and he misunderstood me. So he was like, no, I'll still meet you. I just have to go and get the negatives from the storage room. And I thought, oh, okay, God, this is a bit awkward and hilarious, but whatever. So yeah, we met and we went to his estate, where he has, it's kind of a non-profit estate where they look after the photographs and organize everything. And he just started pulling out all these negatives and putting them on a light box. And it was just pure magic that came off that light box. I mean, I think it was the first image I saw was the one of a blonde model who you'll see a lot of in the book. Her name's Eva Libertine, and she's always naked in the book. And she's so much fun. She's being cleansed with milk being poured onto her naked body. And I said, this is incredible. I've never seen these kind of photos before of Ibiza from the past, from the 80s. And he said, oh yeah, that's actually a hippie wedding. And I thought, oh my God, this is incredible. And then obviously there was some pictures of a group of people dancing around the salt flats, the salt mountains in Salinas. And I just thought, this is different. This is just something that needs to be seen. Before I moved to Ibiza, I used to work in fashion magazines. So I'm already kind of quite savvy to photography and and publications and things like that. And I just felt like this needs to be in a book, or at least, you know, I need to get them out for the public to see these. These cannot go unseen. Mm.
They were unpublished.
Unpublished.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And I just feel so lucky that he's given me this opportunity to really do his father justice, you know.
Okay, so you came across these fantastic pictures, you decided they need to be published. Mm. But then what's the next step? It's a massive undertaking, isn't it, to put a book together?
Yeah, I mean, actually the book wasn't really... I mean, it was kind of in my mind from the beginning, but it didn't come into fruition until a few months later when I started actually selling the photographs at John Dal in their boutique en particulier. And the owner of John Dal, Victor Agudo, who is just the loveliest person, he really gave me the confidence to push these photos forward. And, you know, I kind of said to Alex, would you like to do a book one day? And he was like, yeah, sure. And again, from my past working in fashion and magazines, and, you know, I used to work for one of the biggest fashion editors in the world, and I already kind of knew of Idea Publishers, who I'm huge fans of. They've made incredible books. They've got such an amazing vision, and they're just so cool. And the owner, David Owen, is just one of the most loveliest human beings ever. And the truth is that I emailed David on my lunch break last summer at my summer job working in a hotel. Didn't really think anything of it, and I really thought that he just wouldn't reply. And so I wrote the email quite quickly, didn't really give much thought to it. And I just said, hey, I represent these photographs of Oriel Maspons. Would you guys be interested in doing a book? And he emailed me back less than 2 minutes later and said, this is the best email we've ever had.
Wow.
When can we have a call? Mm. And I honestly, I jumped out of the sea. I was to the girl next to me, my life's going to change. This is amazing. I can't believe it. And, you know, she didn't understand me because she was Spanish. But it just kind of snowballed from there, really. And we met in London. And it was funny because I already had a really good selection of photographs from Alex. But when we started putting the book together and when he was sending us over a larger selection of options, I think that was when we realised that we'd really struck gold, that these photographs weren't like anything else you'd seen. And you'll see in the book, they're just pure magic and they're just so unique, you know?
Well, I wanted to ask you that, you know, what are you trying to achieve through the pictures that you've selected out of that 500? Mm. What was the curating process? How did that work?
Well, kind of picking the photographs was, I mean, it was really difficult because actually Alex gave us about 500 photographs and I didn't expect him to send us that many, but it was each one of them was amazing. I mean, we could have done a second book and we might do, who knows. But I mean, we could only put about 120 photos in the book. So, you know, it was going to be amazing no matter what because each one was great.
What are you trying to achieve through that selection? Obviously, out of those 500, you're publishing about a quarter of them, just over that.
Yeah.
You know, how did you choose?
Again, it was difficult, you know. We wanted to get kind of a big enough selection that kind of showed Ibiza. I mean, you'll see in the book, there's kind of a few pages at the back where we've chosen different paper for the photographs that were shot in squared format, and they are like the oldest photographs. Some are from Formentera and some are from Ibiza, and those ones are the ones from the 50s. Mm. And it's quite nice because you've got this kind of contrast in the book. At the front of it, it's all the 80s and the partying and the nakedness and, you know, everyone losing their minds and everything. And then you get to the back and it's just dusty adult villa streets with old women and you know, big dresses and things. And it's just really nice because I feel like we're kind of showcasing both worlds of Ibiza, but obviously the 80s was much more fun.
And are there any particular highlights? Do you have any favourites that you can tell us about that we should look out for in the book?
Yeah, I have to say, I think my favourite images are of this person called the Pink Panther, which is a guy dressed up as the Pink Panther. Huge head, and he kind of... I still try to find out exactly his story from people who are still with us today, who might have known him. But I think he used to work at a bar in Escanar called Pink Panther. And there's a few photos of him in Vara Dure, just walking around, reading a newspaper. And it's just so humorous. It's so out of place that it just kind of makes me question his story. And why is he there, you know? And then there are lots of favourites, to be honest. I think I really like the hippie wedding one as well that I mentioned, where she's being poured over with milk. I just find that so, you know, otherworldly, you know? I've never seen anything like that before, and I think, yeah, that one's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if any of these people might come out of the woodwork now. once the pictures start to circulate around the islands, you know, a lot of them will be alive still, hopefully.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because when we started the kind of putting the book together, that was something that the publishers said. They said that, you know, can we ask Alex if any of the people, especially the ones that are nude, if they're happy for us to publish this, because they've had problems in the past where they've done it and people come and, you know, demand money and things like that, and oh no, I didn't consent to that and all this. And luckily, but unluckily, most of them have passed away.
Okay.
I think there's only... We've got Armin Heinemann and Stuart Rudnick, who are the owners of Paula's Boutique. They're still alive. And I actually met them a few months ago to ask them if they would write a little antidote for the front of the book, which they happily did. And, I mean, it was amazing to speak with them, to be honest, because when I was showing them a few of the pictures... They haven't seen the book yet. I'm actually meeting them next week. When I was showing them some of the photographs, they were like, oh, that's that person. Oh, you know, telling me stories of all of the people from the book, from the photo, sorry. And it was amazing. It was so nice to speak to people who actually knew what was going on. Kind of gave life to the photographs. So, but no, hopefully no one will come out of the woods.
Well, it's a very exciting project, and... You know, I'm really excited to see the book and to look through it. But, you know, you've got a lot more going on, I think, than just this book. So are there any other projects that you can tell me about that you're doing in Ibiza or further afield?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of all starting to take off now with my gallery. We're actually planning to open a small space next month in May in Santa Gertrudis, which we will be doing a lovely opening, and the first exhibition will be a few of the photographs from the book. And my idea with that is actually to have an exhibition as well as some kind of sculptures and books and things, and that's one project that's happening. So I've got the opening, and then we also have to do a book launch in Ibiza. So that's pending at the moment, but we definitely want to do something fun here. And then I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm sure they won't mind, but at Zaro Agro Turismo Hotel have kindly asked me to do their 20th anniversary exhibition. Wow. Which will run for about 2 months, from July to August. So that's very exciting.
What sort of works will go into that?
It's still very fresh, okay. But I actually think that I would like to focus more on exclusive pieces that some of my artists are making, which have a kind of Ibiza orientation to it. Artists that are already really highly respected, mainly from the UK, but... I want them to do pieces that have an Ibiza twist. So it's going to be pop art, maybe a few large-scale sculptures. Yeah. But I don't think I'll do photography for that one. I think I want to stick with the photography for my gallery.
Okay.
So that's all very exciting. And then Got a crazy year this year. In August, I will be partnering with Paradiso Hotel to do a massive project with the late rock photographer Mick Rock, mm-hmm. who's to shoot, who was basically David Bowie's personal photographer. He shot Freddie Mercury, Syd Barrett, Blondie, all of the legendary rock music legends. So his estate have asked me to work with them, with one of my artists, Hannah Shillitoe, to create an exhibition collection of artworks. And we're going to be having that in working with Paradiso. So that's happening in August. And then what else? I've been asked to do something in London as well in October, so it's all.
It's a big year for you, isn't
it? It's a really big year, yeah. But it's like exciting and overwhelming at the same time. I just feel like, am I going to be able to pull it off? But at the same time, I'm just super excited.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Mm. Can you tell us a bit about your history and how you came to be interested in art and photography? I'm particularly interested in fact that you're drawn to pop art as well, so maybe just talk us through that.
Yeah, well, I mean, my only kind of education with art photography was I did a 1 year art and design diploma at London College of Communication in photography in London, and that was really fun, although it got a bit much and I actually wanted to drop out. And I'll always remember going to my tutor and saying, I can't do this anymore, it's too hard. But I feel like I'm being forced to be creative. And she turned to me and she said, just stop thinking about it, just have fun. And as soon as she said that to me, it just all came out, like my work. And I finished that course with the highest grade and with an award. And it was a shame, she was supposed to come last week to my launch, but she didn't. But that's kind of the only education that I've had in photography. And I've always had a passion for photography. But with the pop art, you know, I just love colour. Mm-hmm. And you can tell in my fashion as well. It's very bright and kind of people do sometimes look at me a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I used to work in the fashion industry as well for a publication called Love. So I was always surrounded by photo shoots and clothing and, you know, super famous models and photographers and everything. So I feel like that all kind of just came together. And, you know, with the gallery especially, I never planned on opening my own gallery. I loved galleries in East London when I used to work there. I was obsessed with going in there and looking at all the really fun prints and everything. But it wasn't until about 2 years ago, my friend said to me, cause she was looking around my apartment and I had all of this artwork and books and crazy stuff in my flat. So why don't you open your own gallery? And I thought, you know what, that's actually a really good idea. And the thing is, there's hardly any galleries like pop art in Ibiza. So it was kind of like a seed was planted. And the more I kind of got into it, the more I was kind of like, actually, this is a really good idea. And there isn't anything like what I could bring to the island. So
yeah, I mean, it is very different, and you're right, there aren't galleries with that kind of art in it.
Yeah, and especially photography, like, yeah. I was shocked that there is not one gallery that sells vintage photography of Ibiza, like, you know, gorgeous photos that, but like Oriol Masfons. I was very shocked.
And just on the pop art again, yeah, we're all familiar with people like Andy Warhol and his pop art, but it's quite controversial, isn't it? A lot of people don't like pop art. They think it's, you know, superficial. It's not as deep as proper paintings. Well, what do you say to that?
Yeah, no, I agree. It can be controversial, but I also find pop art extremely fun and hilarious, and also just gives a bit of colour. And
very playful, and isn't it?
Very playful, yeah. And I just think that, you know, life is better with colour in it. And especially in Ibiza, where you've got all these white-walled villas, you know, you just stick a bright pink print with some kind of controversial typography on there, and, wow, what a fucking difference, you know? but, yeah, I hope people... I mean, I know it's a big, like, change for the island, but, you know, I think it will be well-received.
Yeah. I mean, because also, you're not just... dealing with like Ibiza-based artists. You've got an international artists contributing to your gallery, don't you?
Yeah, and I also think that artists are also equally excited to have their work in Ibiza as well. I mean, Ibiza is, you know, becoming, as you obviously know, is becoming one of the most popular places to visit, and obviously the type of people that come here are from all around the world, and potentially they've never seen kind of pop art like what I sell, unless they go to East London, which they probably wouldn't. So it's kind of like building a bridge between artists and artwork that have never been seen in Ibiza, bringing it over, really.
And what sort of artists have you got on your books then?
So I've got Heath Kane, who's a great person and amazing artist. He's so much fun. I love his work. And then I've got Hannah Shillito, who I'm working with, doing a huge project with her in August. I've got Chemical X, who's fantastic. He made the gallery a piece that is a map of Ibiza, but it's made up of fake ecstasy pills. Mm-hmm. And that just went viral. Fatboy Slim posted a picture of it, and I sold out pretty much within the week, and it was just like amazing, so much fun. And then who else have I got? I've got Sarah Pope, who does these gorgeous lips, which are amazing. I love her stuff. And you know, I've got a few more people coming to join my little gallery. Okay. So yeah.
Oh, I look forward to seeing it. I'm most familiar with is the tube map of Ibiza.
It's funny that you say that because, okay, the tube map has been a love-hate project for me.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually my own idea creation that I've wanted to do from the beginning, but it's been really difficult to try and finish it because I think I have this idea in my head of how complex I want it to be, and I just haven't been happy with it so far. So that's still pending.
Okay.
But the thing is, I never really knew if I wanted to put my own name on it as an artist, because I don't see myself as an artist. I just think of myself with some ideas and then get other people to do it. Mm. But that one is coming out hopefully in the next few months. But it's difficult. I'd love for it to come out as soon as possible, but I don't want to put out something that's half-assed.
No, you want to be happy with it.
Yeah, sure. And I think once it's done, everyone will just go crazy over it. I mean, people have been going crazy of it just with teasers and everything, but once it's done, it will be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, I'll get a copy for sure. as long as Cala San Vicente's on there, which I think it is.
Yeah, I think it is, actually.
So let's move back a bit, take a step back a bit, and maybe you could tell me about when you came to Ibiza, what drew you here to make it your permanent home?
Well, I came to Ibiza about 4 years ago, like just after the pandemic. I think I got one of the first flights out after they started back up again. But as I said, I used to work in fashion for a magazine, and that was really hard. You know, that really, I wouldn't do it again. But it was a really tough time. It was amazing. It was kind of like an abusive relationship. Like, it was beating me up every day, but I wanted to stay because I loved it so much. But it just kind of fizzled out, and I felt like, you know, I no longer should be there. Mm. And when I left the magazine, I just wanted a new start. And Ibiza was always somewhere that I kind of loved the idea of saying that I lived in Ibiza more than anything else, to be honest.
Yes, fair enough.
And yeah, you know, I'm not a big partier either. Mm. I don't really like the clubs or anything. So for me to kind of just come here was just, you know, different. Mm. And I also got sick of London as well. I just really hated what it was becoming with just politics and everything. It was just, yeah, getting too much. So I just wanted to be somewhere smaller, more tranquil and calmer and things, but yeah.
And then so you managed to get your foot in the door before, well, it was after Brexit, but you managed to get in when you could get a residence permit without too much trouble.
God, that was just a nightmare. Yeah. No, I think I waited about 2 years to get my residency.
Okay.
It's really not been easy living in Ibiza. I've been here 4 years, but I feel like I'm only just starting to live here, if that makes sense, you know, because the last few years have just kind of been waiting for paperwork and things like that. But yeah, now I'm starting to enjoy it.
You feel more settled.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And then before that, you know, you've mentioned already in the podcast your background in fashion and photography and in publishing. Could you just take me right back and tell me a bit about your history and how you ended up following that career path?
How far back do you want to go?
where were you born? Were you a Londoner?
No, I'm from Norwich.
Ah.
Yeah, 2 hours from London. And no, I've always loved art. I have. I've always been really creative. I haven't been, you know, when you're kind of either really academic or you're really creative. I'm definitely more creative than academic. Like, I do actually have a bit of ADHD, so I find it really difficult to concentrate and keep focus. So with the creativity, it's much easier for me to just create and things. But I moved to London in 2011, I did the photography diploma for 1 year, and then I started working for luxury retail, not really knowing what to do. I worked at Burberry, Christian Dior, and then it was the magazine. So
what kind of work were you doing?
Just sales advisor. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. But it was super draining, you know. I think when you're in that environment every day, it's hard work. But it teaches you a lot to work with the public, and I've made great friends. I miss it sometimes with all the beautiful things around me.
And then you got into this job that you ended up having to escape from. How
yeah.
did that happen?
The magazine?
Yeah, the magazine.
Well, I actually interned there. And it was really about getting your foot in the door and then just keep going, just staying put for as long as possible until a job came up. I mean, working for publications, especially in fashion, it's grueling. The money is shit, and you just work like a dog. Mm-hmm. And I think it was more like, how long can you last? And luckily, I managed to last 3 years. And if we really want to get into it, you know, when I worked at the magazine, I didn't have any connections. I didn't know anyone from the industry. I really did work my way from the bottom. Mm. I think I was an intern for 6 months, getting paid £500 a month.
Fantastic. I'm trying to live in London.
Yeah, with a rent for £1,000 a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was super tough. But the experiences that I had, you know, were incredible. I mean, I flew to LA to shoot Kylie Jenner when she was pregnant the first time, and the world didn't know that she was pregnant, and it was so exciting to just be there. And, you know, just working with Naomi Campbell and Kate Moss on a regular basis was so much fun. And but yeah, going back to the working, you know, I worked really hard. I didn't have any connections. And I felt, you know, when you're working in fashion, people who are there often get the jobs because they know someone or they're related to someone or whatever. But yeah, I really had to make my mark, and I did pretty well. I ended up becoming the producer of the magazine, and then I ended up being the personal assistant to the editor-in-chief.
Okay.
And I'm very proud of that chapter. And I think that's kind of the reason why I called my gallery Agony and Ecstasy, because it kind of has a personal meaning that mm-hmm. my life has been an agony and an ecstasy. It's always been up and down, up and down, up and down. So, yeah.
And I mean, it sounds to me like that that background that you got in the magazine has really helped you with the production of this book. Like you know a lot of stuff already about the type of paper that you're choosing, the different textures and the choices that you're making, and also your connections into that world have allowed, well, you've certainly got a lot of publicity for this book already, for example, you know, which
yeah,
I don't know how you manage that, but you've been all over the media. So amazing.
Well, I have to thank IDEA for that, to be honest. Okay. You know, they're the big ones, they're the big fish. Mm. And I'm just so thankful that they really believed in the book. And somehow it's kind of put a spotlight on me as a person. I didn't expect that. It's all like it's been really crazy the last few days. I mean, yesterday Nick Grimshaw posted a picture and a video of him flicking through the book. He bought two copies the other day. And I just thought, oh shit, this is serious now. Maybe I should get an accountant. I don't know. But no, it was, it's been pretty wild. And
Yeah. Tell us about the book launch. That sounded like a great party in London.
It was so much fun. And it took weeks to plan because we were going back and forth on venues. And, I mean, Dover Street Market was always the one that we were going to do, like, the reception in the Rose Bakery at the top. And, it was really fun. And we were putting together the guest list. And, I really wanted, like, as many people as possible to be there. And actually, it wasn't that difficult. There are loads of people who love Ibiza. Mm. And, it was great. It was so much fun. And my parents came down and I flew over with my boyfriend from Ibiza and Alex came from Barcelona, despite him missing his flight in the morning and literally coming to the event straight from the airport. So it was a bit chaos, but it was great. It was so packed. And all of my friends from London College of Communication came. And I don't think we've all been together like for years, you know, they've all got married, they've got kids and whatever. And it was just like, on a personal note for me, you know, it was just so nice to have everyone who I just absolutely love in my life all in the same room together. It was really touching. And yeah, kind of was just like a bit overwhelming how many people were just like so proud of me. I mean, yeah, I made a book and it's a great book and I'm super proud of it, but I didn't expect it to be this big. And I'm just still trying to wrap my head around it a little bit. I hope that it's great.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of your hectic schedule this week. Now, if anyone wants to get hold of a copy and they live in Ibiza or elsewhere, how do they do that?
Well, yeah, so you can buy the book from IDEA website or you can pop into their office/shop in Soho in London. We have got a few copies in Ibiza. So you can visit La Galleria di Elefante, I said that right, in Santa Gertrudis. And then we will have them in Jondal, in the particular boutique. And then we will also have them, well, Racco has just got in touch. They really want to sell the book, so we'll have them in Racco. I think they have a shop in San Jose and Santa Eulalia. And then I think we're also going to have the Concept Group hotels have them as well. Well, Diego Calvo, the founder of the Hotel Concept Group, he's opening a new hotel this year, Los Felices, and they're going to have a dedicated kind of book kiosk. And it's really cool because I've connected him with IDEA and they're going to sell loads of books from IDEA. And then, yeah, they're going to sell Oriol Maspons Ibiza as well. So that's all great. But, yeah. There's not going to be many here, I think. So if you really want a copy, you definitely need to go and get it
move
quick.
Quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining me and good luck with it all.
Thank you so much, Will.
This haunting song was recorded in San Jose in the 1950s in Ibiza. It's called Bon Amor, Jo et Venc Aver, which roughly translates as Good Love, I'll Come See You. It's part of the Alan Lomax collection at the American Folklife Center in the Library of Congress. It's used courtesy of the Association for Cultural Equity. Vas a l'estesa per deixar l'esgalfa bé.
No tingues poc et becatgi perquè no ho apreixi.